Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Yoma Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet. About to take a look at a series of Mishnayot together that continue with the description of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. After he's done the vidui, the second vidui on the parsh, Shchato v'kibel b'mezreiket damo. He did the Shchita and then he did the Kabbalat Adam, as we saw earlier, with the Tamid. He would give it to somebody who would be on the fourth tile, and it sounds like in the Heichal, and who would then be stirring the dam, so it wouldn't coagulate, because he had to do other things in the meantime before doing the Avodat Adam, and that is to bring the Torah into the Beit HaMikdash. That's going to take up our attention for the rest of these Mishnayot, along with some interesting tangents. We have to remember that in the meantime, this other Kohen is stirring the dam. Where is he? Now, Talmach Tavi Allah L'Rosh Mizbeach. So he took a fire pan, went up to the top of the Mizbeach. Ufina Gechalim Elach Ve'elach. He put coals to each side. Chotem Ne'mu'ukalot HaPrimiot. He would take the most devoured ones that are on the inside. V'yarad V'nichal Arovar V'isha B'azara. Then he put them on the fourth tile that's in the Azara. Now, every day when he would get the Ktoret, he or any Kohen would get the Ktoret, he would stir them with a silver tool and then put them into a gold pan. Today he would use a gold one to stir them, and that's the one he would put it into. The silver one was 4 kabin, put into a gold one of 3 kabin lighter. Today, the one that he would use for both purposes was 3 kabin lighter. He gave a different measure, instead of the weight, the volume, one that held a se'ah. Again, it was smaller. Every other day it was heavier, this one is lighter. Today it had a longer handle. Every other day the gold was greener, here it was a redder gold. Every day he would bring half of the Torah in the morning, half of the afternoon. Now what he is adding in is Melochof Nave, both hands full of Ktoret, as an additional piece. Every other day it was finely ground. Today it was super finely ground. Every other day, Kohanim would go up the Kevesh, would go up on the east side, meaning the side away from the Mikdash, and then they would go around and they would come down on the right, on the west side, close to the Mikdash. Today he goes up in the middle, he comes down in the middle of the ramp. Not just today, but any day that the Kohen Gadol goes up, he goes up and down in the middle of the ramp. Every other day the Kohen Gadol, like all other Kohanim, does Kiddushat Ha'Raglaim directly from the Kior. Today from a special flask of gold. He says, no, he always uses the gold. Everybody agrees that there was one extra ma'aracha, fire on the Mizbeach for Yom Kippur. So every day there were 4, today 5, according to Meir. He says one less. One less than that. Okay, we'll get into many of these details. Let's go back to the beginning though. Because our original read was that the Kohen who was stirring the blood was inside the Heichal on the fourth tile. But nobody's allowed to be in the Beit HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim, and we'll spend a lot of time looking at that particular halacha. I'm reviewing a Tani Shal Heichal. So it wasn't the fourth tile in the Heichal, it was the fourth tile of the Heichal, meaning 4 tiles out from the entrance to the Heichal. The Torah says, as you see in the pasuk on the handout, that no one's allowed to be in Ohel Moed when he goes into the Kodesh. Yachol afilu bazarim, I think they can't even be out in the courtyard. I know that this applies in the desert when there's a tent. What about in Shiloh and in the Beit HaMikdash? Tamadomar bakodesh. That nobody can be there when he goes bakodesh. So anywhere that's called Kodesh. any other Shatak Torah, I only know that they can't be in there when he's inflaming the incense and his first trip in. How do I know the second and third trips into the Kodesh Kodeshim when he's just bringing the Dam Apar and the Dam Asair they can't be in? When he comes in, L'chaper, which is with Dam. All I know is that when he walks in, they can't be there. How do I know that even when he comes out, they can't be there? Tamad Lomar Ad Seito, till he comes out. All right, now this next piece really doesn't belong here. V'chiper ado ad beito ad kol kal Yisrael is the pasuk. I'm talking about the chabar peito, chabar peito, chabar kol Yisrael. First his own kapara, then the rest of his household, then the rest of the kohanim, and then all of kol Yisrael. Okay, Amar Mark. Let's go back to the brayta. Ein li'al v'shatak tara. I only know that they have to be gone when he's burning it. My mashma, why would we think that? Where'd we get that from? That he goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim and he affects kapar for everybody. However, kapar for everybody really doesn't happen together because for he and the rest of the Kohanim it happens with the par, and for Am Yisrael it's the Sarim Shtaleach. What kapara is there that they have in common? That must be the Torah. Since when does the Torah affect Kapara? It's there to create an environment in the cloud. The answer is in the Hatan Rabbi Chananya. With the store of Korach, that Aaron took the Torah and Vayichaper Alaam protected the people and stopped the Magefa. So you see Kapara? Hatan Rabbi Shmuel Maktorat Mechaperet. What does Torah, for what sins does Torah affect Kapara? Agala Shon Hara. Why? Something that is brought in the quiet and the recesses will come and affect kapara for that which is done quietly and discreetly, which is lashon hara. This is part of a whole long series we saw in Zvachim of different bidei kuhuna and avodot that are mechaper for things that aren't on a normal list of having consequences of korbanot. Tanatam, we have a Mishnah in Kelim. Poshid mivein olam v'lam izbeach b'shat taktara. That the Kohanim leave the area that's in the Azara, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, those 22 Amot, they leave that area when the Ktoret is being burned. Now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo zahan shalom b'shat taktara dechal. That's only referring to when you're burning the Ktoret in the Hechal, the regular morning and afternoon. B'shat taktara lefayim v'lefnim, but when he brings the Ktoret into the Kodesh Kodoshim, they only separate from the Heichal, but they don't have to be anywhere further outside of the Ulam than just being outside of the doors. So, which is interesting because that means that there's a greater Prisha, greater distancing on the regular Torah than there is on the one in Yom Kippur. Now, Meiti Ravada Barav Avamila Kadi, we have a challenge. Rabbi Yossi says, just like they separate from that outside area when the Haktorah is happening, similarly they also separate when we're bringing any Dam for Korbanot to come inside, and not as part of Yom Kippur, but on those occasions when particular sins have happened that we dealt with in Horayot. So now, and then our reaction is, so then what is the advantage or the higher standard that there is between the Heichal and outside in that first 22 Amot? Ella, and the answer is, that in the Beit HaMikdash, they separate, meaning they leave the Beit HaMikdash, whether or not it's a time that he's burning the Torah or not. But that outside area, they leave it and go behind the Mizbeach, or to the side of the Mizbeach, only when he's doing the Haktarah and not other times, which means the Heichal has a greater Prisha, which is a little strange to say, what's the advantage of it? The advantage of it is it's inside the Beit HaMikdash. So we'll see. Now, Mishatak to Amiya Parshi, but you see from here that the Kohanim do separate from that area. When there's Ktoret going on, my love, Mishatak to Alifayim Lefim, isn't that referring to the Ktoret inside the Kodesh Kodoshim? So you see they separate further. Lo, Mishatak to Eichal. That's talking about the regular Ktoret in the Eichal. Yachimah, Alava, too low? You're saying, so what's the big advantage of the Eichal, and that's all you're questioning? Ha'ika ha'mala. There's a much bigger mala. Dilem heichal parshu ed mishat haktor adidem and mishat haktor adlifnayim lifim. They leave the heichal when any Torah is going on anywhere. But the Men Olam HaMizbeach is only left empty when the Ktoret is happening in the Heichal. So Aktani Elish Meichal Porshim Mishat Taktora Mishat Shalat Taktora Men Olam HaMizbeach in Porshin El Mishat Taktora. So the answer is that's exactly what it said, just in different words. So there's another way to look at it. They leave the Heichal, whether something's happening in there or further in. But they only leave the Ulam of the Mizbeach when there is, because of the Kedusha of the Heichal, not the Kodesh Kodoshim. So there's another advantage. Rava, Shem Prisha Chati, says that's no different. Prisha is Prisha. Leaving is leaving. The only question is there an area that they don't leave? And that's V'lam and L'mizbeach. And so therefore the Echal has that one step above it. Amar, Kach, Porshim, Mishat, Matan, Parko, and Mashiach, Ram, Yerdov, Shat, Sivar, Sivar, Echal, Vodat, Kochavim, Menalan. So how do we know that they also have to be out of the Mikdash and out of that zone when those other Parim, Nisrafim, Nisrafim, Nisrafim are brought, meaning the Chatot, Primiot? I put on Ate Kapara Kapara Yom Kippurim, because the word Kapara is used in those contexts in Yom Kippur, and the notion is that when any Kapara is going on inside, there has to be solitude for the Kohen affecting it, and everybody else is gone. Now, Amrav Achabar Ava, Shma Mina Ma'alot Da'oraita. So his observation of this entire system is that Ma'alot, meaning the recognizing the hierarchy of Kedusha of the zones of the Beit HaMikdash, is Da'oraita. V'hachi Gemir Eluan, they must have a tradition that the Kohanim have to leave this area and that area. Why? Because if you think it's Da'oraita, then what would be the reason? Like all Ma'alot Da'oraita, it would be a protection. Now, why would you say that they have to leave the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, which is a small part of the Azara, the Mikravailu, because maybe they'll suddenly be interested, or they'll be called, and they'll come in and violate, so therefore we push them away. If that's the case, Mikul Azara Namin Fashu, then they should be out of the Azara totally. The Mikravailu, same problem. If it's a consideration of concern, the concern should apply even there. So the answer is Bein Olam LeMizbeach Kevin LeMafzik Midi LeMin Karmelta. The answer is if they're inside the Mizbeach, there's nothing between them and the Ulam. They'll forget where they are and they'll go in. Azara Kevin LeIkar Mizbeach Yitzon LeMafzik. But out further out in the Azara, there's a big, huge Mizbeach in the way. Min Karmelta. They'll be remembered and they won't go in. So that still could be Durabanan, and the pragmatics of it are based on the Mizbeach blocking them. So Rava's conclusion here is that the Kedusha of the Ulam and the Heichal are one Kedusha. Why? If you think that they're separate, two separate Kedushot, Ulam Gufe Gzeira. Think about this. Going out to the Ulam, which is outside of the Heichal, if it's a separate Kedusha, is itself a Gzeira. So why have them leave Bein Ulam and the Mizbeach? That's a Gzeira L'Gzeira. So it must be that the Ulam and Echal are all considered to be one, and we're going one zone out of that. Lo, Ulam v'ena Ulam and the Mizbeach are a Kedusha hi. Nah, the Echal is one Kedusha. That's the one you can't be in. The Ulam and the area from the Ulam and the Mizbeach are all one status, and therefore you have to leave that zone. Echal v'Ulam shtei Kedushot, but the Echal and the Ulam are two separate Kedushot. Okay, we'll pick up in the next podcast here with the analysis of the difference between Yom Kippur and every other day with the Ktoret, etc., in the next podcast. In the meantime, I should have a wonderful day.